Diary of Doom.
Welcome, fanatics. This is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we'll have a different guest for you to spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom, follow the podcast on diaryofdoom.podbean.com, and subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have a question or want to pitch anything, you can fire off an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And this week we have the very awesome These Beasts from Chicago on the podcast. It's a real pleasure to have Chris Todd and Keith join us. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I was introduced to these guys at the Magnetic Eye Records Showcase back in November of last year, and they kicked a lot of fucking ass at that show. They were really awesome. Really, I was not familiar with you guys prior to that day.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, fun. Cool. Yeah. I assume that the only people there at the time we went on were other band members. So it's it's nice to know that somebody that wasn't in a band was there at that time.
Yeah.
I was there the whole damn day. It was a long day.
It was a long day.
Yeah, it was super fun though.
Obviously, there's a lot leading up to that moment. And so what are your guys' like earliest experience with music? Because I actually listened to your EP that you put out last year on the way back today from New York, just to kind of refamiliarize myself with it. And I really feel like there's a lot of depth to the record, personally. I feel like there's a lot of influence there. So what are your guys' like earliest experiences with music going back?
This is Chris here. My earliest experience, probably watching my dad play. He had full band. He was an Elvis impersonator. He doesn't like to be called an Elvis impersonator. He called it doing Elvis shows. Yeah. So really, I kind of like learned how to play music from my dad. And then in high school, started playing in a band called Switcheroo, and just kind of eventually migrated up to Chicago and played in a few bands here before Keith and I finally linked up. And then Todd moved here from Cleveland, and we completed the lineup. What about you guys?
This is Keith. For me, it was pretty much having two older brothers that they were always playing Rush and Journey and Triumph and things like that in the house. And my brother played guitar. My older brother played guitar. And then in high school, two of my best friends, they played stringed instruments, and they were talking about trying to get a band together. And I felt left out, so I was like, I'll play drums, and I didn't even have a drum set. And so I finally got my mom to buy me this super crappy, like, $250 drum set, and we ended up forming a really horrible metal band called Black Mass.
And that's a good
name. After that, just kept playing drums, and I moved to Austin, Texas, and I was in a couple of bands there, and then about, I guess close to 20 years ago, I moved to Chicago and didn't really, I always played my drums, but I didn't really play a lot of music. And then finally got together with these guys.
Years in the making.
Yes. Yes. Worst day of my life.
What about you, Todd?
Oh, for me, I don't know. I mean, just growing up and I remember riding around in the car and listening to pop music and then going to the store and buying, you know, Michael Jackson 45s or Joan Jett 45s. And then, like, you know, in middle school, my older brother buying, like, Van Halen cassette tapes or whatnot. It was way back in the day. And, like, you know, once you know, you start listening to Quiet Ride and Van Halen, and then eventually buying some Metallica records and getting into death metal. Like, I mean, I would say in high school, that's all I listened to was death metal. And, you know, and then over the years, just you know, I was actually in band in school, so I played the saxophone and whatever. So I've always been into music, and I don't know, like, so, you know, I was playing sax in the band and marching band, and it was horrible, and I just wanted to be, you know, it was like, oh God, why do we have to learn how to step around? I just want to play some music, like. So then I started playing bass because I wanted to be in a metal band. Like, I really wanted to be in a death metal band. But obviously, I mean, that was decades ago because, you know, I'm a kind of an old man now. But that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where I've been, you know. It's started with just driving around in the parents' car, listening to pop music, listening to what was popular, and then just progressively, like, listening to everything I could possibly listen to, and more extreme music, and just wanting to play guitar and be in a band with, like, some friends, you know. Like, that's in high school, that's what I wanted to do. I had friends, like, we went to shows. Our parents, I remember going to my first Metallica show. My buddy's parents drove us in a van to Pittsburgh, and they actually waited outside for us. So it's just,
what tour, yeah, was that?
That was Injustice for All.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No. They, you know, it was fun for them. You know, the parents, let's take the kids to a metal show, and sit outside in a van. So I, you know, it was cool.
I did not have that luxury.
Yeah, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
Now, those being your earlier influences, like, now, like, what are you guys' like some of your favorite bands?
Oh, I guess, man, that's a tough one for me always. I mean, in high school, and I still listen to them a lot, really love the band Jawbreaker. So they definitely kind of influenced my guitar playing. But as far as now, I don't know, like, really been digging, like, the new Torch album. Yeah, their new album's killer. Yeah, I don't know. What about you guys?
For me, like, some of my favorites kind of back in the day, well, I'll just name two that really stick with me. I've always been a Jesus Lizard and a No Means No fan. But currently, and this has kind of been going on for years, I just can't seem to get enough Chelsea Wolfe. Yes.
Yeah.
Every record is so good. And they seem to get better and better. Also, I like, you know, bands like Sumac and Baptists, and let's see, there's also a couple of smaller bands around, like
these beasts.
No, I said smaller bands. Not tiny. No, but there's this really great band called Tongue Party out of, where are they from?
Minneapolis.
And some smaller bands in Texas. I can't remember their names right now. But, yeah, there's almost too many to mention, to be honest. I mean, I think we're all kind of music nerds, so it's rattle them off, we'd, you know, be here for, you know, the entire 12-pack that Rue bought.
There's definitely a sort of Venn diagram, though, of, like, stuff we're into, and somehow, like, always we end up, like, sort of meeting in the middle, I feel like. You know, it's like, I've learned about bands from both Keith and Todd, and I feel like, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'd say probably vice versa, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Of course. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it was like a follow-up to that, because what I find is, like, sometimes bands can lose their concept of, like, identity when they talk about other bands that influence them. And I don't feel like that is the case with you guys. I think you have, like, a very unique sound. And has that ever happened? Like, do you try to emulate a certain band, or do you just try to, like, pick out the things that, you know, work for this artist and this artist? And that's kind of how you take and derive your influence more so. Because, as I stated, sometimes people can get a little lost in, like, what they're trying to do.
No, I think we just kind of, like, get together and play. And, you know, if we like it, we stick with it. I think maybe we take some influences from, like, for me vocally, I'll take influences from like some sludgy bands like Iron Monkey. So like if you hear like the screamy vocals, like that's there, for me it feels kind of sludgy, but and then for me like the yelly vocals are more helmety, so like those are two huge influences for me. Like I love every Helmet record, even the newest ones. Those Iron Monkey records were great. But I don't think we don't try and do anything to sound like anyone. We just kind of like what we like. We really kind of scrap a lot of music because we write a lot of music, and if it doesn't, we even get to the point where it's done and scrap it. So
I was about to say the same thing. It's like, even I'm sure that like influences bleed through, but we've even had instances where it's like, that sounds too much like this or almost exactly like that, you know, that we've ended up just scrapping.
Yeah, we pretty much got together with no sort of like plan to sound like this or this. The main sort of, I guess the common denominator was we all like heavy music so much and we all kind of play heavy music and we're all really super good friends, so it was more about like let's just get together, play, and then see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just have fun.
Yeah. Isn't that just like the point of mostly anything? But you know, you guys also are from Chicago, which has like a pretty impressive metal and like rock scene, and there's some really big name acts out there like Indian, Atlas Moth, Shellac. Steve Albini has his recording studio out there, and then like the Chicago hardcore scene. Like, did that have any impact on developing your sound? I mean, I know that like, you know, Keith was moving around a lot in Texas before he like moved up here and whatnot. But does that history of the city have any impact on you guys?
I think a little bit of it's hard to avoid, just because it's kind of like, I feel like the reason why there's such a big heavy scene here and, you know, why that type of music really comes out of Chicago is like, we all sort of, it's almost like we're all on the same team, just sort of like dealing with the same bullshit, like weather and like, you know, Chicago politics and like the things that sort of like get to you from day to day basis. And, you know, it's like, it's a great city to live in. But at the same time, there's a lot of things to deal with, like the, you know, snow and shit. So I think it's just sort of, you know, I think there is influence there, and we're actually, you know, good friends with like, you know, quite a few of the people that, you know, are in some of these bands. But yeah, I think it's kind of unavoidable to really, you know, not have some sort of Chicago influence, Chicago sound there, but it's not something we strive for really.
Chicago is a great town though for music in general though, and I really like the scene. Like, you have great stuff like Kuma's is such a cool little spot and
yeah
shit like that. So I like Chicago a lot. Are you although I talked to another guy in a band a while ago, and he gave me the breakdown for like the Chicago pizza thing. There's like the Chicago style pizza that people talk about, and then like the Chicago pizza.
Keith is, you piqued his interest. He's perking up over here. He's our resident pizza guy. So,
fuck the doom metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a problem. My name is Keith, and I've been called Keitza. I've been called the Piz. I've been called Piznitza. At Christmas, my mom 1 year gave me a neon pizza sign. Like, I have a history. Like, I got a problem.
He's an addict.
Yeah, it's true.
He needs it all. Yeah, the sauce. It is a problem for him.
But
in fact, he's probably looking at his watch right now, going, "Man, it's about pizza time."
I got leftovers in the fridge.
All right, let's go.
I assume you're talking about the kind of what people think of those, like the classic Chicago deep dish, but I don't know. There's tons of great pizza here. You didn't know you started a pizza podcast, did you?
No.
Tonight only.
the Dylan and These Bees Pizza Hour.
Yeah.
Does pizza have any influence on These Bees sound?
100%.
Well, getting it back to the actual topic. Obviously, you guys are on Magnetic Eye Records, which is a pretty heavy, like, Doom-centric label. Was there a specific, like, Doom record that you guys, you know, kind of, like, broke the wall down for you? Or was there just, like, a specific record in general you were like, yeah, that's the one that's gonna, I'm gonna do what they do?
Huh.
Oh, that's a good question. I listened to so much Doom, like, for a long time that I can't pinpoint any one record. It's just like, if there was a Doom record out there, I was buying it. So I really don't know. Before I moved to Chicago, I was in a band in Cleveland, and really, I would have to say, like, I really want that band. I really wanted to be doomy. It was really slow. It was a lot different than what These Beasts is. So I mean, for me, Doom is it's just one of those things. And, you know, probably the greatest band ever is Black Sabbath, but, you know, that's obviously a debate. So for me,
50 years since they started metal,
you know, so for Doom is just like, I just love it. So I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that question. There's just so much good stuff. There's so much good stuff, and like, it seems like there's so much coming out now.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the Doom scene has like exploded so much.
Yeah, it's wild.
I honestly didn't really know that we were Doom until our friends here, Pale Horseman, started getting us some of our first shows, and
I don't think we're Doom.
I don't think we're Doom, but we get like put in that category a lot. I think we have elements of it, but yeah, those guys are like definitely Doom to me, to Pale Horseman.
Yeah,
great band.
I would say we have some, especially on the first our self release. There was definitely some Doom elements there.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much on the self-titled one, but, you know, I feel like every time we get together at practice, we jam on some Doom, and like, it's all recorded, and sometimes it gets filtered into some songs that end up being songs that are maybe might end up on the next record or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about the self-titles, that when I was listening to it, I was like, I know exactly why Doomheads love this record, but this is the same band that I could see playing with, like, Dinosaur Jr., for example. Like, that's the kind of from that record. It's like, I had a similar reaction to it, like, when the first time I listened to Big Black. That's kind of the same vibe I got from the record for me. That's what I got.
Wow. Both really good compliments.
Can't stress how good that fucking record is.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
But that's the kind of feeling I get from it. But I'm gonna rephrase my question. Just name a Doom record you really love.
Todd.
I love the Cough. I would call. I don't know if you would consider Cough a Doom record. I would, and then so the same. I believe that there are some members in Cough that are also in Windhand, so I love that Windhand stuff. Like, I think those are great Doom records. Oh God, I could go on and on about Doom records, but those two bands, I think, they really had some really great doomy stuff. It's just heavy doomy. I've been listening to that stuff for so long, so I'll just leave it at that. Like, I like those two bands in the Doom scene right now. I don't know what they're doing right now. I've heard a Cough record in a while, but like, I don't know, Dylan, what's on the top of your list for if I could turn this around on you?
Well, to answer your question about Cough, I don't think they're really doing anything right now. I do know they have a couple of shows lined up this year. Like, I think they're playing Maryland Doom Fest, and they're playing at the Psycho Smokeout. But I don't know anything about excuse me, their current activities. In terms of Doom Records, the new record by Yatra is fantastic.
Oh, I just listened to that the other day. It is really good. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. I was pretty surprised with that record. Not that their other records weren't good, but like, yeah, that's a good record for sure.
For me, this is. Oh no! It's my fault. For me, I'm not like a huge Doom listener, but I would have to probably say the Sanctum EP by High Priest.
Oh yeah, you're neighbors of you, right?
Yeah. So neighbors and label mates.
That would be my choice.
Yeah,
they were really good too. They were another highlight of the Day of Doom showcase. But yes, that record was really nice too. I just re-listened to it the other day actually.
Yeah, we did a little run with them on our way out to New York. It was super fun. We actually didn't necessarily know them that well, if any, before we hit the road with them. So made some new friends.
Yeah, they're
on
good
our
dudes.
Way to New York. Yeah,
really good dudes.
Yeah, definitely check them out. So we kind of talked about your putting together the band's sound. It's like a lot of jammy sort of things and whatnot. But I, like I said, I don't think that your sound really adheres to the standard Doom mold, which you also said. I think it has a bit more punch and attack. So I guess I would ask, like, how did you get the band together, and was like, were you looking for a specific sound? Because I made the comparison that, like, you guys, I could definitely see some like Dinosaur Jr. and like punk rock influence in there. Was that kind of in the mix too when you were putting together the idea for the band?
Yeah, honestly, when I first moved to Chicago, I met Keith through some mutual friends, and we just started talking about music that we're both into, and kind of like what I said earlier, it's like there's always like some sort of you know, roundabout where we like meet in the middle on stuff we're into. And essentially it was just like we're both into like kind of heavy, loud bands. And that was really sort of just the only impetus of us wanting to start a band. But we talked to each other for like 8 years about music and saying how we should start a band, and then we just never did. Like, and then finally we did.
It was my fault. I was a bit wishy-washy for a while, trying to figure some other things out, but eventually it worked out.
Yeah, and then just great timing, because Todd ended up moving here from Cleveland right around the time that Keith and I had been jamming for a while and started thinking about looking for a bass player. And then a good friend of ours that Todd was really good friends with, Todd moved here, we met him, and I was like, you play bass? And Todd was like, no, I retired. And I was like, no, you didn't. You're playing bass. Because I also found out that he did the same tuning as me, the drop C.
Yeah, I mean, for our sound, though, I'd have to say when songs finally get finalized or they finally, like, stick, I would have to say that Keith gives it the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Yeah, everything and, has a pass through quality control.
Quality control is key. So, you know, and typically those songs are the heavier, like faster type of angrier, aggressive songs, right? So like a Calvin Walled City, or, you know, like a recent band I've been listening to, I Flies, which I think are really cool. And like, that's like, I don't know if it's noise rock or, you know, it's more of a insane kind of sound, but I feel like Keith gravitates that kind of way, and he likes to play his drums real loud and fast, and you know, he doesn't like to be bored. So
yeah,
you
know, my ballad.
Keith is a quality control, I would say.
Yeah, my ballads never get through.
he's pretty mean with the kit. It's definitely something. I was like, damn, this is like fucking like driving music, and I was like, ooh, bass solo. There's the drums.
The drummer has daddy issues. got to take it out somewhere. just kidding.
If you're listening, Dad.
Listening, Dad. Well, I love the last record you put out, the self-titled EP. I thought it was great. I know I said it before, but I'm going to say it again, damn it. What was it like working with Sanford Parker? Like, I'm an Unearthly Trance fan. It was really good to see them. I actually saw them for the first time last year.
Oh, man. Working with Sanford's fucking killer. It's great. I don't know. You guys want to expound on this?
Well, like, you, Chris, you knew him before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think Todd or I have ever met him prior to that, right, Todd?
I think I may have met him, but I didn't know him, no.
And me, honestly, I was super nervous because he's done so much, you know. And but once we got in there and hanging out with him, it was super easy. It was rad. He was just like a super cool dude, this amazing dude, like really, really cool. And
no ego either with all the stuff he's done.
Yeah, not at all. Like, we would sit there and make stupid jokes. He'd laugh. He'd make jokes. We'd tell stories, and we'd go and like, you know, have a food break, and he would tell us stories, and we'd just all hang out. So it was really cool. I was a little nervous at first, but it was the nervousness actually went away pretty fast because he was just such a chill dude.
Yeah, makes it easy.
Yeah, working with Sanford is really laid back. There was zero pressure. Like, for our EP that we did, our self-released one, like, it was great experience, but like, it was. The guy we recorded with is a good friend of ours, but he just like beat us into the ground, like vocal take, vocal take, vocal take. And like working with Sanford, it was just like, he's like, that sounds cool. Let's go with it. And like, it was just really laid back. He's just a laid back guy, and he had great ideas, and he loved to listen to our ideas. Like, I had a weird idea for like a drum circle for the, wasn't even a drum circle. I actually wanted Keith to re-record some bass drum, and Sanford looked at me like I was crazy, and he's like, "Oh, let's just do a drum circle." And it really worked out really cool. Like, he's a really easy guy to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he actually is. I always used to have this thing about the tambourine. Like, I just was never into it really. And like, there was one track where Sanford was like, I think we might need some tambourine on that part. And I was like, are you serious? And he kind of looked at me. He's like, and he kind of looked at me and goes, I don't fuck around with tambourine, dude. and it worked out. It was perfect. And now I have a tambourine, you know, mounted to my hi-hat for every single song. So.
That's awesome.
He even wrote a little lead for me in one of the songs. Just a little idea that he had. He was like, what if you did this here? Yeah. What's that?
And then he did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, he great ideas. Very and, cool, easygoing guy to work with.
And he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. And also, yeah, he knew exactly what he was doing in order for us to get the sound we wanted, which was awesome because, you know, I've recorded with people in the past that have... Just no one in Chicago, but you know, a long time ago, I recorded with people. It was just like they just want to like record you and get it done, like rather than capturing what you sound like. And Mike lost to record our last one, and Sanford, who recorded our newest one, both of them I feel like did a great job at capturing our sound.
I mean, I would say so, but I just can't stress that self-titled was so good. But did you guys sign on to Magnetic Eye because of that, or did you sign on to Magnetic Eye before that?
No, it was after we recorded with Sanford. I just was sending it out to the labels, and actually Magnetic Eye, I had heard of them, but I hadn't really thought about it until Todd said it, but I'd heard of them, excuse me, I'd heard of them because of Low Flying Hawks.
Another great band.
Yeah. And I actually was turned on to them by Todd. I was just like, I was asking Keith and Todd to like send me a list of like some labels we should try to, you know, send the stuff to. And Mike hit me up like almost like the day I sent the email. I was actually riding the bus home from work and had to like stop and stand in a CVS like in the vestibule and talk to Mike on the phone. And it's been a killer experience so far. We've been super happy with everything they've done, and it was awesome to, you know, have somebody to, you know, give us some love and want to put us out there, because we were really having trouble before that. But I think the Sanford really capturing us the way we sound and making it sound so great, I think that it helped make it stand out.
I agree. So now that you've got the EP behind you, what's on the horizon for you guys? Do you have any more plans for putting together like an LP, or you working on anything else?
Yeah, we're currently like not really trying to play too many shows right now because we are writing for an LP, because that's that was one of the things in the contract with Magnetic Eye, is to put that self-titled EP out and also to come up with a full length. So we're currently planning and writing to do the full length, and I think we're maybe about halfway-ish there, or maybe a little bit more. But I think I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I think we're going to do it again with Sanford, right?
That's the plan. That's the plan.
Yeah, we'll do it with Sanford
again. Yeah, so yeah. Of course. That's the goal right now, and I don't want either one of these dudes to get too mad at me if I get a little picky.
I was about to say, unless we scrap the whole thing.
Right. We could have a bunch of songs, but they could be scrapped by Keith. So we do have a bunch of songs, but who knows? We could start over tomorrow at practice.
No, I think we're I think we're a little over halfway there, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. We really you know, we spent a lot of time last year playing a bunch of shows and playing the songs off of that LP, the EP that we've been talking about that came out last year on Magnetic Eye. And I think we just wanted to like take a little break and work on new stuff, and you know, that way we would kind of like don't lose the momentum, you know, especially because we got all these songs that we want to get worked out. So I don't know.
We did record a song for an Alice in Chains Dirt.
Wes Sanford.
Compilation. For the compilation coming out on Magnetic Eye or the Redo record label that they do. So we did that in the summer, right?
Yeah.
It was in the summer. We recorded it with Sanford. We did Sick Man. So it's coming out next month. Look for that. I think it turned out awesome.
Yeah.
We recorded with Sanford.
If you don't mind my asking, I didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah. So if you look, High Priest is on there. Chemist is on there. Which the Chemist records are awesome. I don't know if you're a Chemist fan.
Low Flying Hawks too, right?
Yeah. Low Flying Hawks is on there, I believe. I don't know. They are always really good at getting like some pretty big name bands. For these Redo records. So
it's been a while since I looked at the list.
It's been a while since I looked at the list too, but it is coming out next month. I believe March 20th or something.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. So it should be cool.
Good thing to mention. I totally forgot. It's totally spaced on that, 'cause it's been so long.
Was I on that?
Yes, Keith, you
were.
We
overdubbed the Tambo.
Actually, it's a funny story. We told Magnetic Eye that we were going to do a collaboration with Sanford for that song. And we went in the studio with Sanford, and we recorded our version that we came up with. And after we were done, Sanford was like, "All right, I got nothing to add." So it's no longer These Beasts with Sanford Parker. It's, you know, it's just a These Beasts song. So,
but
but what
with Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas Thomas. Oh yeah, Dallas Thomas from Swan King and Pelican. He came in to tear up some guitar on the leads, because he can just do it and I can't.
Yeah, so if you're a Pelican fan, Dallas is on our song. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He really ripped up some solos. That was a lot of fun just to watch him play this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I love Pelican, too. They're awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dallas is an awesome dude, too.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Obviously, I mean, for me, the Day of Doom was such a highlight. I got exposure to so many other bands that day, but... you guys have any other like favorite highlights from the time you put the band together and doing the tour? Like you said you had mentioned that you had done a little tour with High Priest.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you have any good tour stories?
Well, that was actually our only, I mean, we have played multiple shows sort of outside of the Chicago area, but that was the first time that we sort of went out like multiple shows with another band and everything. Stories.
I think my favorite story would be our first show. Our very first show, and this is not a tour story, but like we got together, we were playing songs, and we were playing songs basically that Keith and Chris wrote because I had just gotten the band, and we had a couple of other ones, but we played this. I don't know. How would you explain it, Chris?
Beard Metal Fest.
Yes.
Beard Metal Fest.
Yes, the Beard Metal Fest.
Out in the country, in the sticks of Illinois. And
not Dark Lord Day?
No. We haven't got invited to that yet. I say yet. similar, though. You know, a bunch of Chicago metalheads get together in a place that's not Chicago and play and listen to metal and camp out, and you know
it's fun. A bunch of bands playing in a barn, and
yeah,
you know these are great bands that you would play with in any Chicago bar that people would come out to see, and like you know this was our first show, and it was pretty amazing. But the tour with the High Priest, we played some really cool shows. We played my hometown. Youngstown, Ohio.
I got a good buddy out there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't been back there in years. My dad's still there, my mom's still there, and I go back, but like I haven't like hung out in Youngstown. And there's a really cool place, Westside Bowl, that was just opened like I think a year ago, and they're doing really great shows. And then I had some friends in Pittsburgh, and we played at Gooski's, which was a really cool spot. Like, it's just a little divey bar. And for a Sunday night, we had a really good turnout. And yeah. I don't know, it was just a good time, you know. No complaints about that little weekend run. It was just really fun.
My favorite story from that particular tour was Chirilla of the namesake on the EP, Chirilla in a Tub. Before we left, he actually hit the road with us, and before we left, he and I were taking bets on how long it would take us to get out of Chicago for Keith to start asking silly questions to pass the time. And I don't even think we were on the expressway getting out of Chicago yet. We haven't even gotten through like the major toll to get out of Chicago, and one of his first questions is, what's your opinion on sharks?
That's not actually true.
And I had to pay up.
That's not actually true. I believe I phrased it as, do you like sharks?
Either way.
I mean, tomato, tomato.
Right, exactly.
And then I asked Todd, have you ever been to church? And then I asked him, when was the last time you danced? And I'm in the front seat, Todd's driving, I'm looking back at Greg and Chris, and they're just laughing back there because they knew that the question has been answered. Like, how long is it going to take until I start doing my stupid shit?
Greg won that one.
Yeah. He's like, I'll stop driving and get out of this fucking car.
But the thing about the Beard Metal Fest that Todd was talking about, our first show, It was an overnight thing on a large plot of land, and people would like set up tents after the show and sleep in the tents. And I remember there was like a fire pit, and there were some people sitting by the fire pit. It was really late at night, and I was the only person in my tent, but I was kind of close to the fire pit. And I remember it was half due to beer and half due to like our first show nervousness that I remember I was in my tent and I got up and I threw up outside of my tent. Like I opened the zipper and I threw up and then I zipped it back up real fast and I heard the people by the fire pit go, "Did you hear that?" And somebody else goes, "Yeah, I think it was a raccoon."
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we don't really have great tour stories.
Yeah. Anything that we do is pretty stupid, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Obviously putting behind, you know, metal and beer and puke fest. Are there any like tours or shows you guys would love to play? I actually think you guys would be great at Dark Lord Day.
Yeah, tell them. No, I mean that would be an awesome show to play.
Psycho Vegas.
You know, fucking set our sights high. Go to Roadburn or I don't know Hellfest. I don't know.
Yeah, any of those. Anyone
listening?
Yeah, I just
Psycho Vegas would be awesome. Like,
yeah.
I just think that'd be super cool. I just like Vegas, but you know, Ghastly Sound. I'm sure you saw them at the Day of Doom. Like, I know they played there, and I was like, oh, we're on Magnetic Eye. We're gonna be able to play Psycho Vegas. But like, so that's on the top of my list.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
that'd be awesome.
The year they played, just unfortunately missed them.
I unfortunately missed them at the Day of Doom because I went. We drove a van and we got a parking garage, and I wanted to drop the van off so I could, you know, hang out and party the rest of the day. And it just happened, like, the traffic going back to the parking deck was horrible, and I got back and they were done, and I was super bummed. But their new record's really cool.
While Todd was doing that, I was drinking copious amounts of Jaeger with Pete from Elephant Tree.
Pete. Oh yeah, no shit, he drank a lot of fucking Jaeger.
shout out to my boy Pete.
Yeah, with the green strings, Pete.
I actually spent a good chunk of the evening partying with them afterwards, and let me tell you, those boys can drink.
Yeah, I noticed. I was surprised he was still standing by the time they went on.
Surprised he was still alive.
He was standing when he told me not to buy him a shot of tequila, but then I did buy him a shot of tequila.
Yeah. Oh, he moved on to tequila.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awesome.
No, they were great. They were great. Super fun dudes.
Yeah, that was a great night.
Yeah.
That was a wild night. I'm very glad I went. But what's on the horizon now from you guys? Well, you guys are working on there. You already said. Is there? I don't really have too many other questions for you. Something I always like to ask bands is what they are jamming to right now. So are there any bands right now that you guys are jamming to that you would like to, you know, maybe give a little shout out to?
Todd. I always get floored by these questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, me too, but I guess if I want to like give a shout out to like some a local band that we really love, like I don't know if you've heard the new Salvation record, Year of the Fly, but it's really killer. Yeah. And they're super awesome guys. Other than that, you know, That's a good one.
It
is a really good one. You should really check it out. They're really cool guys. Yeah.
Good friends too.
Yeah. Good friends. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, I every Friday I'm on looking for new music. You know, the new Envy record came out. Misery Loves Company, which was, I don't know if you remember them from way back in the 90s. They came out with a new record. I really liked it. And I don't know. And then we had some friends from Allentown, PA called Tile. They put out an EP recently. It's killer. I mean, they're just super nice guys.
What was the band you said? Misery something?
Misery Loves Company. Misery Loves Company. You remember them? They were.
I don't mean to insult you. I'm a little bit younger. Like, I grew up during the 90s.
Yeah, they were on Eurek Records, and that was, you know, that was back in the, it was back in the 90s. So
yeah, Todd's like 53.
I'm not 53. I'm not 53.
That new Daughters record's pretty good. I don't know.
Daughters is good.
Yeah, that new one's pretty great.
For me, I would like to, and I don't want to sound like a, like I'm singling out Minneapolis, but Buildings and Tongue Party from Minneapolis. Those are two of the ones right now that I really like.
Yeah.
Can't stress how much Tongue Party sounds like a porn.
It really is a weird and interesting name. So I know what you mean. But if you get a chance to see them, it's pretty mind blowing. Very powerful.
I actually heard this band recently that I don't even think I've asked Todd or Keith about it, but
thanks.
I think they're you're welcome. It's totally exclusive. I think the name is pronounced Bostonage. I think they're from San Francisco. I think they're like in that circle of Deaf Heaven. But yeah, kind of similar, like West Coast black metal sound. A little more hardcore though than Deaf Heaven guys. That album sounded pretty good to me.
Unfortunately, when I Googled Bath Vintage, and I don't know how to spell that, it came up, it said, do you mean Birth Village or Bath Vintage?
It's another porno we've been watching. No, I'm kidding. Tongue Party, Bostonage. It's spelled Bosse hyphen D-E hyphen N-A-G-E.
There we go. Okay, they have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're a San Francisco band, if I remember correctly. But could be wrong. But that album was pretty cool. I liked it. Kind of hardcore. I feel like for me, like I kind of like tend to like side on like things that sound a little more hardcore like that. Like Baptist, Keith brought up earlier. So yeah, that's all I got there. Wish I had more.
Well, I won't press you for more. Is there anything you guys would like to plug before we wrap up?
Buy the rest of our records on Magnetic Eye. Keep supporting. Support Magnetic Eye. They supported us, so it's nice to, you know, like help support the other bands. There's a lot of great bands on the label.
I think our one plug is, you know, get the Alice in Chains Dirt Redo record. I mean, there's some really good bands on there. The High Priest song, we heard it. They played it for us when we were out, you know, touring with those guys. And
spot on.
I mean,
it's great.
Seriously, if you like the Dirt record, you should get it. I think I'm real curious to hear the whole record to see how we fit into that. The High Priest song sounds like the Alice in Chains. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I think ours is pretty aggressive.
Yeah,
so.
Admittedly so from them too. They told us that they just did it straight up, but like it sounds great.
I would just like to say, please support your local pizza places, like your mom and pop pizza stands. Like, seriously, like, I mean,
you're in New York, you have all the great pizza.
Yeah, I mean, all the
I'm sure there's good pizza there.
All the chains are great, but like the mom and pop pizza stands that open up that are badass, like, please support them.
Oh, not all the chains are great. A lot of them are pretty trash.
Well, Papa John's is extreme trash.
Papa John's is very major trash.
Yeah.
Fuck that,
horrible,
dude.
Yeah.
Is he even a papa?
I don't know. And if he is, that's a damn shame.
Right? Those poor kids.
The only pizza chain I like is Blaze. I think Blaze is good. But I like, you know, any random pizza place is better than your Pizza Hut or whatever. Although, no, that's not true. I like the deep dish chains out in Chicago. That's because I can't get them here.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Pequod's.
Because Pizzeria Uno fucking sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never met a pizza I didn't like besides Papa John's.
Wow. But
I gotta give a shout out to Pequod's. That's probably my favorite deep dish in Chicago. Oh, it's
goddamn delicious.
Pequod's is on my list of places to check out. I've had Lou Malnati's and I've had the other one, but I haven't checked out Pequod's yet.
Yeah. Hit us up when you're in Chicago. We'll all go together.
Definitely will. We want to. Yeah. We definitely want to get back out there. I don't think I'm going to be able to get back out there this year, but certainly want to revisit the Windy City because I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
Have you been to Polly G's in Brooklyn?
I think so. Yeah. Is that the one? Is that the one in Williamsburg?
I'm not sure. It was after the show and we were a little drinky, I guess, but we went to Polly G's in Brooklyn and it was some of the best pizza I ever had in my life. So that's another shout out, I guess.
I think
quote unquote a little drinky, so
My taste buds still read deliciousness.
My taste buds still read delicious. Yes, I have been there. Because I went there. Actually, I went there before I went to go see The Sword one time. That was my pregame dinner. That was pretty good pizza. I got to say, though, there's better pizza in New York. It's a little more expensive.
Yeah. Where was The Sword? Just if you don't mind my asking.
Brooklyn Bowl.
Okay.
That's where it was. It was not the last album, the record before that, when they were doing the High Country tour.
I think that's the tour we played with them.
We opened up for them once.
In Chicago, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Super, really nice dudes.
Yeah, they were awesome. Their roadie was killer.
Ralph. Yes. Ralph, their guitar tech. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I saw Kyle's side project when he covered Dark Side of the Moon as Doom Side of the Moon. It was
Yeah. I heard about that. I haven't heard any of it though.
It's good. I would check it out. It's a fun little remake. I really enjoyed the performance. They get into it a lot. It's like nice. 3/4 of the current lineup from The Sword, even though I know they're on hiatus.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Out of your day on a Monday when you didn't have a holiday.
No, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Like you said, buy the Magnetic Eyes Alice in Chains Dirt redo when it comes out in March. Keep an eye out for that. You can follow these beasts, I'm sure, pretty easily. You can check them out on, just Google it. And you guys are on Bandcamp, right?
Oh, yeah. We're on all the social media and platforms and iTunes and wherever you like to stream or buy music, you can find us.
Yeah, we have a scrap song that you could find on some compilations that will never probably end up on anything else.
Yep. But if you're looking for the rarity.
So like, if you're looking for a rarity.
Blood Dust. Like, just Google these
guys are like covering their face. Like, why? It's a good song. People like it.
Yeah. Check it out.
Check it out.
You heard it, guys. Check it out. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dylan.
And this will do it for this chapter of the diary.
Thanks.
In the wake of COVID-19, many bands and artists have found themselves stranded. Whether it be from a tour cancellation or the literal prevention of travel from country to country and what soon may be state to state, it is imperative that we support the artists we love. If you have the funds to do so, please support artists by purchasing their merch, their vinyl, whatever they have to offer. If you see an artist in need, they may not have a job lined up right now. This is a time when we must all be supportive of each other. But also remember to please be safe. We want this madness to be quelled as quickly as we can.
Remind me what the breakdown is. So Chris is guitar?
Yes, guitar and yelling.
Guitar and yelling, and Keith is drums, and last. Todd is on bass.
Yeah,
okay.
Bass and vocal.
Todd doesn't really do too much.
Todd didn't do too much.
I just sit around. I just stare at these guys.
Is it horrible? It's my first podcast. I was nervous.